I don't own the rights to this music, but this song is jamming. Hey, hey. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? What's up, people? I go by the name of Yuki. Yuki! Your Star Sailor Senpai. Or Star Main Senpai, you know. And welcome to Senpai Sundays. Hey! Alright, this is Dream On by Miyano Mamoru. It's the ending theme from Life Lessons with Uramachi Onisan. Alright, I'ma stop, because I don't want to get sued. But that song is jammy. You should definitely check that out. Let's start here. Uramachi Onisan, right? This was... I was completely caught off guard. Now, I'm going to start here. This was one of those shows that went under the radar. And by the time I got to it, Funimation had already got their dubbing hands on it. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Okay. This is not your dubs versus subs thing, right? I'm not that guy. I hate that whole discussion, right? So I'm not going to do that here. What I am going to say is a few episodes of the dub were out. So I decided to check that out. What I'm going to give you today here is seasonal anime reviews. What we're going to do is, I got a few set shows that I watch. Suggest something to me. I'll watch it with you. Check it out. And then I'll report back weekly and give you my thoughts on it. And we can share each other's thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at Senpai Sunday on Twitter. That's Senpai Sunday as in the ice cream, you know. All right, now, before I get completely into the season, the anime, and that's what we're doing this episode, right? This is still a Ninja Please podcast production. Shout out to Macchio, the one and only Tanuki, who's going to join me on some Tell Us From The TARDIS type tip. We're still going to get into some other topics, but in between these topics, I'm going to check back in and give you guys the rundown on seasonal anime that you might want to check out. That is pretty fucking amazing and dope. So that's what we're doing today on this special edition of the Ninja Please Podcast presents Senpai Sunday with your Senpai Star Sailor Senpai, aka Yuki, aka Tommy Kid Black. Hey, you get it, you get it, get it. Anyway, thank you for checking us out. Let's go.
L-O-V-E, we love Yuki, Yuki, Yuki.
All right, man. I give this week's American Horror Story, cause I ain't giving no number. It's cool. I'm gonna give you a final number. This shit probably gonna end a 7. I don't want it to end a 6, but like I said, when Shawty took her fucking mask off,
y'all better fucking shit, write the hell out of the end of this shit. That's all I'm saying.
I want to see how that shit go.
Y'all better write the fuck out of the end of this shit, man.
Got one episode left? Shit. Mm-hmm.
Y'all better find some kind of way to tie that shit up and make it good.
And oh man. Alright. I got other shows to get to, but before I do that, Tom Holland is suggesting that the upcoming Spider-Man movie, he said, quote, he's treating it like it's his final film, because he says that the Far From Home trilogy wouldn't be a trilogy if they did more than 4 movies. And they might do something more with Spider-Man, or they might not. It might expand in a different universe. He said he doesn't know what's happening with Spider-Man, but he said Spider-Man, the one that's coming out in December, he said that he's treating it like it's the last one.
That just sounds like Tom Holland, you know, trying to
I think Sony,
stay safe.
I think Sony finna try to do it on their own.
Pick another Spidey or something.
I think they might keep Tom, but I honestly think they gonna just keep.
Damn it!
I think they gonna, you know, with Venom and all the other stuff. Cause they announced we're getting a new Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
Right.
The next one's gonna be called Across the Spider-Verse. Coming out in 2022.
Okay.
But in regards to Tom Holland Spider-Man, I think the third one is definitely going to wrap up the trilogy. I don't know what Kevin Feige has planned. I don't know what Sony has planned other than them the director for Venom said, because I finally saw Venom. Yeah. The director for Venom said, yeah, bro, that when we put that scene in the movie, there we put it in there to see maybe we could force a hand, or, you know, it was a shout out to see maybe we could bridge it together. It wasn't too, there was no link there. He shot that shit out. It was like, bro, he just threw it out there just to see if it stick to the wall. Mm-hmm. And at this point, he said, it might just be something I send out there to stick to the wall, because those people who move hundreds of millions of dollars for movies didn't decide at that time if they were going to pursue something. Mm-hmm. At that, you know, later on.
Right.
So he said now they're closer than him believing that you may get a Carnage, you may get a Venom and Spider-Man movie. He was like, Sony is really looking to expand in their Spider-Verse, but they weren't when they made this movie 3 years ago.
Right.
Movie poster came out in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
They made this movie in 2020. It's 2 years old, but still.
That's a long time.
Movie world. Yeah, movie world. So they said when they made that 2 years ago, it wasn't a thing. But they said now it might be a thing. You might get that team up mashup. And I hope you do, because I don't want to see the end of Tom Holland.
You can't have Venom out here running around without Spider-Man.
Because you wrote that multiverse shit in there with the movie. Because honestly, I liked the movie when you got to the scene where everything flipped. I was like, why did everything flip for y'all? And I'm thinking, well, it's linked to the Marvel shit. I guess I can chop it up to some that yep, shit Sylvie did. You pulled it
to the multiverse.
Right. I say, I guess I can pull it to that shit Sylvie did. So fuck it. We here now. That's exactly what I said when I saw that mid-credit scene. Like, what?
I thought it was straight Doctor Strange. I didn't think it was Sylvie. I thought it was Doctor Strange.
I thought Sylvie. I thought the moment Sylvie made out of them alternate timelines, I felt like was shit. Oh, shit.
Motherfucker snuck in under the door. Shit. I'm sorry, dog. I gotta say, I think it's full on Dr. Strange, because at the end of it, he was watching a DailyBugle.net. Strictly about Spider-Man's identity being revealed.
I only disagree with you on that one. I want to see how that shit come together.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like if it ain't Doctor Strange, it's Sylvie. But then again, what they've got me really thinking that they are to root the multiverse shit, they're really gonna lean on Doctor Strange. Because
the only way I feel like they will bring What If into the MCU is if in Doctor Strange or in Loki season 2, on one episode or at some point in the movie, they go into an alternate universe and it's animated. That's the only way.
That'd be hard.
That's that I'm saying, dog, because
even
if they went into the Spider-Verse universe and it looked the cel-shaded shit, like, you know that is a multiverse. Like, this particular universe is animated. The MCU universe is real life. The comic book universe is another universe. Do it like that.
Like, sometime it ain't a scroll. Sometime it was just Loki.
Right. Sometimes it wasn't a scroll. Sometimes it really was Loki. Sometimes it really was, you know, universes bleeding over.
I'm anxious for a Loki season 2. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
With, in too. Regards to the finale of What If and Ultron, you know, Ultron ultimately almost got his way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I'm thinking this definitely is linked between. I want to see what happens with Spider-Man. I want to see what happens with Venom. I want to see what Sony does. I'm really skeptical of Sony pulling it off, but I'm like, y'all did it once. Y'all damn near did it twice.
And y'all have Insomniac Games exclusive to Sony making the Spider-Man games. I mean, it's not like you guys don't have material. So, if you guys want to somehow work Spider-Man video game universe into the movie universe and do it that way, I'd prefer it.
I think Into the Spider-Verse 2 would definitely do that. They'd be a fool not to jump in a video game. Because think about your reaction to be if you see it. That's why I don't like people showing everything in the trailer.
Right.
Because I'm kind of glad that I'm still on the fence of whether or not any of the previous two Spider-Men are in this movie. They've all but confirmed it, but until I see it,
right, I still like, don't know.
It's like, I can imagine seeing this movie again to the end of and just like, bruh, these niggas was only in a credit scene. Minutes. I could see that shit being like, bro, they really built up all that hype to just put them in the credit scene. You bullshit. And like, bro, all the Spider-Man in the credit scene, Ian Schwarman. I'm like, you lying. He's like, yeah.
Nah, bro. I mean, not literally eating shawarma, Madam but Webb, that's what it is.
He just talked to Madam Webb and meet his other two Spider-Man, and then the movie go off. Right. I'm like, bullshit.
Like, nah, bro. It's not I like can they see that. Fight I together. Can... It's just they get to meet.
I
they
see that shit, bro. I see a cut scene. I see an ending credit scene.
They compliment each other's outfits.
They drop in with Madam Webb, and yep. all three of them are right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why your boy said, I told you I wasn't in the movie. I was in the cut scene.
Yeah, right, I didn't lie.
I was
lie.
In the credit scene. Right. I didn't lie to you.
I didn't lie to you.
He was like, I was in the end credit scene. Are you serious? Bro, I can totally see that shit. Bro, I swear, bro, if I get that shit, bro, I'm going to buy popcorn when I see Spider. I not barely buy popcorn anymore. Every once in a while, I'm going to buy a large. Just so I can throw that shit. If that shit.
You motherfuckers. I'll buy me some popcorn to eat.
All right, eat it. I'm going to save some just in case that shit happens so I can throw it.
Damn sure bought some when I went to see Venom. And what was that we went to see before that?
Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
That movie popcorn still be good. It better than anything you can microwave.
I'm telling you that. Well, except for that not caramel corn, but that kettle corn.
That's pre-popped?
No, not pre-popped. You pop it in the bag. That kettle corn in the bag is pretty good.
Bro, I stopped eating microwave popcorn because non-microwave popcorn just tastes better.
It does because they pop it in the air popper or the fucking big pan type shit. It tastes better when it pops that
way. It's alien popcorn ain't been the same since Pop Secret color popcorn. Since bro, they made popcorn
dog,
red.
I was talking to somebody since they made about popcorn that, blue. Dog.
Ain't been
I
the
was
same.
Talking to somebody about that, like in the original caramel popcorn that came with the caramel pack that you put in there and shake it up. Duh, it hasn't been
Pop,
the same.
It ain't been the same since Pop Secret color popcorn, bro. That shit was green. That shit was blue. That shit was yellow. That shit was red. I don't know why they made a yellow one, but they made a yellow one.
Yes.
I remember around October, around this time of year, I remember just going to the grocery store, getting my grandma to buy me a pack, and I remember just I'm eating blue popcorn, bro.
Yep. Like, you could either get the 3-pack, the 6-pack, or I think it was a 9, and it came with all the colors in there. Or if you got the 3-pack, it came with one of 3 colors.
That food coloring that we ate must have been very unhealthy because they
no
pulled,
that wasn't food coloring. That had they pulled, it was like sugar. It was like a sugar coating on it.
Nah, the ones I had was just they was all buttered popcorn, but it was a different color. The Pop Secret ones,
nah,
you had
them shits were different flavors.
I'm talking about the ones you could microwave.
Yeah, me too. They were different flavors. Oh, it wasn't just a different color. I used to buy them too. I remember that shit. They were different flavors.
I remember the colors. I don't remember the flavors.
Yeah, they used to be different flavors because I was going to segue into what is it? Popcorn Palooza or whatever they're called out of Atlanta. When I want flavored popcorn, that's who I order from.
Mm.
They got an Oreo that's real good. They've got this rainbow color that tastes like Fruit Loops. That's amazing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to order some so that in the upcoming weeks we can try some.
That's what's up, please. I love to
they
try.
They got one that tastes kind of like hot wings. Yeah. It's almost like buffalo sauce and limon.
Mm.
Or lemon, whatever you want to. But I'm talking about it's really good.
Yeah, some good popcorn hit the spot. But like I said, like making that shit at home. Mm.
Oh yeah.
It was
first time I had it was at MomoCon. They had a booth. Bought some of the damn, cause Arielle, she said it randomly that year. Or my sister. Yeah, you can say that. R-E-L. Yeah.
Rail.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, bring me some anything Oreo flavored. And I was like, that's random, but I can find her some Oreo Pocky or something like that.
And they got fucking cookies and cream flavored Oreo.
Right, all kind of shit. I mean, but I was like, let me see if I can find something. And they had that popcorn booth and they're like, oh yeah, we got a cookies and cream popcorn. Like, let me get that sample. Then let me try this rainbow that y'all got. And then what was the other one? I don't know if it was the caramel corn or the toffee corn or if it was the key lime.
Mm.
Like key lime pie. Key lime cheesecake or whatever. That shit was so good. That's some of the best flavored popcorn I've ever had. and they make it fresh and they ship it wherever. And I mean, like I say, it's straight out of Atlanta. So if you want to order some, I mean, it's coming straight here. But I'm going to order some so we can try it.
Hey, 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 y'all give me some claps, man. It's a theme song. I just gotta let the people know who they talking to. Hey, alright. Welcome to Senpai Sundays. I'm your boy, Starman Senpai, here with some anime shit. You ready? Alright, here we go. What do you get when you combine Carolyn Tuesday and Blue Gender? Talked OP Destiny. Talked OP Destiny is a seasonal anime. It's about a pianist named Talked who becomes a maestro of music arts, who happened to be a superpower magical girl. You see, she got all the red on and makeup, the gothic type shit. Her name's Destiny. They battle these monsters called D2s, and they must make it from Las Vegas, Nevada to New York for whatever reason, because her powers are going crazy and they have to get them under control because she's using his life force every time she transforms. It reminds me a lot of Guilty Crown in many ways, and if you watch it, you'll probably get the same sentiment. So far, though, it's visually stunning. Like, Madhouse and MAPPA are showing out with this series. It looks amazing. It's one of the best looking shows I've seen in I don't know how long. I definitely recommend everybody check it out, especially in 4K HD. Like, you just got to watch it. It just looks so great. It looks fantastic. And the music, amazing. A lot of classical piano music, symphony. It's about a world where these D2 monsters have taken over. And they attack places that are loud. So music is banned. So you literally can grow up your whole life and never hear music again because music lures them. This guy plays piano, so he has to play piano. He just loves that shit. But Destiny can fight the D2s when they come. She just has to get stronger, and they want to give music back to the world. Like I said, it's a really dope anime. Episodes 1-3 are currently streaming on Crunchyroll. Talked OP Destiny. Everyone go ahead and check that out. You definitely don't want to miss that one. Here's more Ninja Please Podcast.
It was a story I had from a couple weeks ago I forgot to read. Because it glossed over real quick. But I got it via comicbook.com. Jamie Foxx is interested in recreating a Stephen King horror movie. Guess which one?
Is it one that came out a long time ago?
Yeah.
Does it have multiple books or just one?
I never read the books, but it's Misery. He wants to remake Misery, the idea of a social media superstar getting met by a crazed fan who.
Man. And yeah, I like that idea.
Recreated.
I like that idea.
Except instead of him being a writer, he's an influencer. He's a famous person.
I really like that idea. It could work.
And I was like.
It could work, though.
It could work, bro.
But
like,
you know, it would be just like. That Korean was it Korean or was it Chinese interview, or not the interview, the audition.
That's what I need to watch the audition. Then it's like that.
Yeah, because the audition was it was this chick who auditions for this movie and she is obsessed with the director, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Oh, I should have went down my horror list with you. Before I get to this, my horror list, I saw it's gonna come on Netflix on October 31st, but it was called Innocence and damn it, I'm trying to in Graveland or something. Ghostland, Innocence in Ghostland.
Okay.
Okay. If I would have known, it's a twist. It's a twist, and the twist caught me the fuck off guard. It's a good ass movie. The synopsis on the heels of the Chappelle shit. The synopsis of the movie is
okay.
A trans lady or dude in drag, some manly nigga in a dress, and his deformed son, and her deformed son, like fully heels on eyes, incestual freak son, drive an ice cream truck and pull up on people and just torture, terrorize them. But his son, he has a deformity and he spoiled. Mama spoiled the fuck out of him. They capture these girls and use them as dolls. And I'm talking about sewing on body parts, patching up faces, to just slanging a rag doll around because you throwing a tantrum. Bro, that shit is good. That's all. That's literally all I can say. That's all I can say. But that shit good. Like, that's what the whole plot is. But it's more to it, and I can't reveal it because it'll spoil it. But
what's it on?
I watched this on, I think I watched it on Shudder or Amazon.
Or maybe, cause I mean, I got Shudder cause I watched the new VHS, which
then it's on I watched the new, I watched the new VHS.
It was, I mean, look,
only one Ratman.
The hell, dog, Ratman. Bro,
that was like the best one.
Shit.
I was like, damn, Ratman, damn near the best one.
Yeah,
like,
dog.
It got weak. Like, after Ratman, yeah, I started going to sleep, bro. The Ratman was the only one that was like, oh,
cause
shit.
Because the one with the fucking laser tech and all that shit, it made me think about Rick and Morty with the portal gun.
Yep.
The new portal tech, but they had to use Buddy's blood and all that. Like, y'all could have went with in a more alien direction with that rather than. Because me and Jackie were talking about it, and Jackie was like, I thought they were killing him over and over at first. And then I was like, no, they just keep getting him to get his blood. And I was like, yeah, they need his blood to use the tech. But you keep seeing the video about it.
It's on Shudder.
Okay.
Check that out, bro.
It's
entertaining. It's Ghost gave me one, like, the devil in this house or some shit. He told me.
What, the devil built this house or something like that?
Some shit he said. He was like, well, watch that shit.
Yeah, watch it.
He was like, watch that shit. Like, watch the devil's...
I don't even think Skulls knows I've seen it yet, so watch that.
Because
you know I like the fucked up movies.
I watched another one on Amazon. Let me just pull up my Prime, bro, because...
I'm just waiting on these motherfuckers to go ahead and announce fucking Trick or Treat Part 2, dog. Just make it. Just make it, dog. We all want a Trick or Treat Part 2.
So it's Suspiria.
No, Suspiria.
Suspiria.
About the ballet dancer.
Yes, you've seen Suspiria.
There's an old version and there's a new
version. I seen the new version.
Bro, they both fucked up, dog.
Okay, let's have this conversation right now.
Okay.
So that's probably the best horror movie I've seen all week. Because I was trying to figure out what the fuck was going on. I got to the end and I was like, oh, that's one of them old sisterhoods who was mm-hmm. cast out. And she just reincarnated and was mm-hmm. like, y'all can't even tell I'm reincarnated. Like, right. They felt the energy
just
from
the shit
jump.
Around her, right. And y'all just did the ritual around her.
Bro, she came at the end with the ritual. Cause I wanted some ghost witch shit, bro. And at the end,
they saved it,
bro.
They saved it.
No, when they twisted old girl, I was like, "What the fuck is this shit?
Bruh, like, what kind of dance routine is this shit? Y'all really about to kill her in front of everybody? Dog,
she outside the room just twisted up, dying, contorting,
dog.
And then at the end, they had them spoiled milk titties and shit. Like,
they the spoiled milk titties.
Motherfucker looking bad. Like, it was just gross. The end of that shit just got gross. And I felt bad for old dude because it was just like, bro, you ain't go back and look for your wife. You presume she was dead.
Right, not knowing that she was still there, just the ritual didn't work on her, so she lost her fucking shit. You could have got her out of there, but you just thought she was gone, so you wrote her off.
With dancers, bro, I love how she would just dance. I was like, what kind of shit is this? What kind of dance is this? The way she...
moving like that.
Yeah.
Like, but these ain't dance moves that I would consider like
straight conjuring demons, bro. She conjuring God getting wrapped up in the shit. Like, in the, no, I felt bad for
everybody
old,
else was in. Like,
roommate went shit. Looking.
Right. That's what I'm like, bro. You don't, none of this seems off to you, girl. Like, the nothing cops. About this is wrong. Nothing about this seems strange.
I felt bad for the cops. They went to investigate. Started, got hypnotized, magic on them. Got your butt ass naked, putting hooks in your ass. I'm like, bro, y'all deep, but they nasty. But them witches was nasty with it the whole time. Dance. Dance. We finna do this in front of the crowd.
Do it, right. Dance. Do it. They knew how to keep you fucking wrapped up in that shit.
Yeah, that energy, it was just like, that was, it was different. Because it was just like, I've seen a lot of movies that, like, I told you, I got into the unfortunate habit of trying to find more movies like Midsommar or Ritual. And it was a bad path to go down because I didn't understand the construct to which the algorithms will assume what I like about these movies is what everyone else likes.
Right.
And it's not, I learned that's not the case. I learned that what, to me,
they
what
will
connects
recommend
the movies,
you the movie through narrative perspective or through directorial perspective or through ratings, and it's like, that's not why I like the movie.
Yeah, it's like, that's not why I like, that's not what makes this movie like this one.
Right, the thread that holds these movies together in some certain category for me is not how you would rate these movies.
But that's what you get left with.
Yep.
And it ends up being the case. So that's what
it's
I was
AI,
left with.
Bro, it don't know how a human thinks.
Yeah, but that led me to watch that movie, and I put it on my list. And you know,
Watch the old one.
Yeah, actually, I finally watched,
it's way more disturbing because it's back in like the 70s or something.
I watched The Wicker Man for the first time.
The original Nicolas Cage.
The original.
Okay.
And finally got to see all the moves that took from it. All the moves that took, I'm talking about from the nudity and the sex to just like, y'all,
the
it
weird
wasn't
ass cult people. It was who weird. Live
it was
in
nothing,
this community.
It was nothing scary, bro. That he just got to the end and they was like, "Yo, you a sacrifice."
Yeah,
and
it point wasn't, blank. Yeah,
it wasn't nothing ominous about it. It wasn't no.
It was just the build up and the atmosphere around the movie. Like, oh, you about to die. You know this throughout the whole movie, and it's just the build up around the movie, the atmosphere and the tone that set. Like, this is what it's like if these motherfuckers were really gonna sacrifice this man and not have him know.
When his plane didn't start, I was like, you fucked.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you fucked, bro. Your plane ain't starting.
You think they gonna let you get away that easy? You know that plane ain't finna start for you, man.
You should have parked your plane way out and just took a boat.
Yeah.
Because,
or just rode in point blank.
Bro, because they got him.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because they burnt him alive, bro. That's always a fucked up way to go. They burnt them alive. That
and
shit was
slow. And then you see
slow.
Where Midsommar really took that. I mean,
yeah,
Midsommar is Wicker Man better.
Yeah. Modernized Wicker
A24 Man version. Yeah. A24 version.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Exactly that.
I saw that. What else? What other movie did I see? I'm watching one with your boy from, who's the guy Walking Dead with got the bat and bust niggas upside the fucking head?
With Negan?
Negan. The actor that plays him has this movie on Stars right now that I'm watching.
Okay.
It's about this girl who has the ability to see Mary, mother of Jesus, and she's given her power to heal, but people are not actually being healed, and she's not actually harnessing the power of Mary. Probably unholy.
Really?
Sounds very similar to Midnight Motherfucking Mass. And guess what I've been watching?
Yeah, but Midnight Mass is something else, dog.
Midnight Mass?
Bro.
Bro. All right, so I finished Midnight Mass. And I'm just going to preface with this saying that Midnight Mass has been my favorite series I have seen this entire year. I watched Midnight Mass in a span of 3 days. I could not turn Netflix off.
I'm not finished with it yet, but I mean,
then I'm gonna shut the fuck up there. But when I
understand why you say that, because like, what's come out on Netflix this year? I mean, movies that made us, Squid Games and Midnight Mass. I'm probably gonna finish that tonight before I watch. What you call it?
You didn't finish Squid Games.
No, I did.
Okay.
I'm saying Squid Games, and then I'm saying I'm going to finish Midnight Mass tonight before I watch
Well, bro, because Midnight Mass was such a treat.
That movie you were telling me. Tell me the name again.
It's called The Unholy.
The Unholy.
And what was the other one? The other one was... Oh, no. Innocence and... Innocence and Graceland.
That's Innocence and Grace. I remember that because that reminds me of that movie Thailand, which is fucked up.
Innocence and Ghostland.
Innocence and Ghostland. Okay. That's the
one. That was a good one. It was surprisingly good. But Midnight Mass, I tell you, anybody who's hearing this, man, check it out. Bro, I give Midnight Mass a 9 out of 10. It is damn near perfect.
And what do you give Ratchet?
What did I give Ratchet?
Mm-hmm.
Ratchet a 6.
Okay, so that's...
Ratchet was a chore to watch. It got to a certain point where Ratchet was good, but then Ratchet just kind of...
Okay, what do you give... what the fuck? Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers. Perfect Strange.
Cause I'm trying to get a gauge for that. You say you give that a 9, so I'm trying to figure out. Cause that's very high. And then
9 Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
Oh, 9 Perfect Strangers was a 7.
Shit. So this has gotta be real good then. This has gotta be real fucking good. Alright.
I'm fucking with it, bro. Like,
this Midnight gotta Mass, be real fucking
Midnight
good.
Midnight Mass was like, I've seen some good shows this year. Like, Loki was one of, like, up until I saw Midnight Mass, I think Loki might have been my favorite show of the year. You know, and next under that was WandaVision. And both of those are like 8s. You know what I'm saying? But Midnight Mass was almost a 10, bro. It was like, I had questions at the end, but... Damn it, I enjoyed, like, it's just the sermons and the, when that shit get dark,
and
the bro. The
subtext and all that.
Yeah. And then I talked to Mikey, right? Shout out to Mikey. He's doing a new Doctor Strange. He was rebuffing his Doctor Strange cosplay.
Okay.
Man, he was talking about Midnight Mass because he grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
So he was just telling me, like, bro, ain't no young dude finna be called Monsignor. That would have been the fucking red flag off rip.
Off rip, yeah.
Like,
I mean, you don't have enough in the game to be called a Monsignor. You hadn't studied enough. You're not old enough to have studied enough.
But he told me that. And also, he was just like, the way to do communion, and it's not like that.
Mm.
I thought about Midnight Mass. I'm like, where are they? Probably an island off the coast of Massachusetts, bro. Because Midnight Mass, Massachusetts.
Puritan Catholicism.
Bruh, this was the island remix, nigga.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, bro, when the cat, bro, from the Cats, first episode, I ain't understand what the Cats, so when you, Skos broke it down to him, he was just like, man, I think it's a, he was like, something don't like cats. And I'm like, what the fuck? He was like, bro, them cats. And I was like,
cats are halfway already.
Yeah.
And that's a given across.
I did not catch
every
that.
Every supernatural, every religion, every whatever you want to call it, every spiritual discipline.
And cats, all the cats on the island dead.
You bro, know, something ain't right.
From that point on, I was like, let me put this shit together. But yeah, bro.
You never fuck with cats, though. Never fuck with the cats.
Fucking with Midnight Mass, though. That was...
Don't fuck with the cats. Don't... If you're killing all the rats out there, you're killing all the snakes. Don't fuck with that shit, bro. The fish are dying. Don't fuck with it, bro.
That's all I seen for the week. Cause I think there were more shows movies I was gonna check out, but I think that's like a couple of these movies took 2 nights to watch, bro. It's been a rough week. I feel like I'm at least 3 or 4 movies behind, like horror movies. So I said tomorrow I was gonna watch one tonight, then I was gonna watch one in the morning, and then I was gonna go throughout my day, catch up on my other shows, like the series and stuff. And then before I go to sleep, I was going to watch one more. So I said I was going to get 2 in tomorrow.
I think that's going to do it for me. I'm watching those tonight. Hey,
say my name. You're goddamn right.
All right, man. This is the Senpai Yuki here, man. Star Sailor Senpai, you know. All right, man. I'm back. Okay. The world's greatest assassin gets reincarnated into another world as an aristocrat. That's it. That's the title and that's the description. Don't you just love these super long anime titles? Anyway, this is by Studio Silverlink. The title pretty much sums up. It's an SK. Don't skip it though. Visual looks fantastic. The main character is Lou. He's OP as hell because that's just the thing, bro. Old guy, greatest assassin, gets burned, gets his burn notice. They shoot his plane down, he dies. Gets the opportunity to get reincarnated with all his memories, all his skills, everything. So he's a baby with the self-awareness of an 80-year-old assassin who's just the greatest ever. Anyway, he's a prodigy. He's 7 at the start of the actual series. Now, episode 1, you get the modern what's in this fantasy world. Episode 2, you get his assassin life. Episode 3 is where I'm starting, where you get him growing up with his family and you get to meet Dia, the silver haired Neo Queen Serenity looking esque magical, I don't know, prodigy, best friend. They're cousins. She teaches him magic at the age of 10. He's 7. Episode 1, like I said, that's the present. Episode 2, you get the past. Episode 3, current events. They introduce other characters. Honestly, though, it might be one of my favorites of the season so far, bro. I can't say anything negative about it, bro. It's blood. It's guns. It's magic. It's isekai. And I'm still not tired of those, regardless of how many they decide to give us every fucking season. Pardon my language. Anyway, this is currently streaming on Crunchyroll. Fans of The Wise Man's Grandchild may recognize theme since it has the same director. But as I said earlier, the world's greatest assassin gets reincarnated into another world as an aristocrat. What you see is what you get, but I'm definitely enjoying this one so far. Episodes 1 through 3 are out, currently streaming on Crunchyroll. Y'all go check that out. Back to the Ninja Please podcast. Because if I don't do that, I'm probably gonna start watching you.
I still hadn't watched it at all. Like this super stalker, weird motherfucker killing people. I don't wanna see that.
I don't know why I like this shit so fucking much.
I mean, it's interesting. It's crazy to see. Like the revamped version of The Invisible Man was so good because they took that crazy super stalker approach and it works. But then you got this guy who's really like super stalker, following motherfucker through social media and becoming the perfect dude, but through stalking her. Like, that's interesting. That's something to want to see. But I'm not caught up enough to know about season 3 yet. But I want to see that new screen.
I was just talking about that today. Let me know. Let me know if I need to check it out, because
I mean, it's gonna be a while before it comes out, but I want to see it.
Yeah, I'm honestly, it's something about me and slasher movies. Like that shit is truly terrifying. Mm-hmm. I guess it's so realistic. Like, nah, man, you can't get stabbed to death. This whole
random ass motherfucker, it's a cult, just shit. Crazy. Yeah,
this cult shit is 1 in a million. Like if it happens, it's, you fucked.
But it can happen.
Yeah, so it's like it's a creepiness to it. The slasher shit is just like. I think what did me is like one of the most terrifying slasher movies I ever seen was like, what was the movie when they just walked in the house because the niggas was home?
Strangers. They just made a new one.
Strangers just fucked me up, bro, because they was just like, bro, we got.
Are we
no
doing
motive.
It because you home. Well, like, why are you doing this? Because you were home. Point blank. And it's based on a true story, like straight up based on a true story, like real shit. These motherfuckers were going around home invasions on people, bro, deliberately they, because they were home, to torture and kill them.
Bro, once they start making these horror movies about these folks going missing and organs coming missing, bro, it's gonna be on.
And see, that's the crazy part about it. Like, media is like, hey, man, you know, yeah, we've been talking about kids going missing and the sex trade and girls going missing across the country, and now we starting to make kung fu movies about it and action movies about it, and now we start to hear that the shit is real, like really, really fucking real. Like thousands of kids go missing, thousands of young women go missing a year because they're being trafficked across country as sex slaves or whatever, and then they get killed off, they get murked off. People getting their organs taken and sold, but they've been making action movies about it, like subtly trying to tell us. Now we finally kind of get to see it. horror movies are like, look, man, we ain't just killing motherfuckers for no reason. We want to let you know people die this way. We want you to be aware. Yeah. It's possible that you can get fucked up. Because when y'all said y'all were going back to Europe and y'all were going to really do this, riding the train and all that, I was like, bro, this is some awesome shit to do. But immediately, my mind went hostile. Immediately. You know this. It's like, these motherfuckers could go missing on any day, bruh.
That's the scary thing about just being not famous and going places. Like being an everyday.
You are vulnerable in the world.
Yeah, bro. It's not people looking for your next show. Like, you just a regular Joe just going through the world, and you realize when you get to some of these places with no cameras, it's like, bro, you'll complain.
Only my friends will worry if I don't show up in the next 2 or 3 days and say something.
You feel like CCTV is your enemy because it's spying on you at all times. But the moment you feel the threat of going missing, bro, you grateful.
Look for every camera.
You grateful that there is a camera that was like seeing everything you did from 8:15 to the moment you went missing, bro. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So I like movies that put me in that state of, this is so far out, like, how can this happen? Or, bro, this could really fucking happen.
Right.
And that's what makes it fucking scary.
Like, I agree.
Like, and I think those are the elements for a good horror movie. Sometimes you ain't got the, you know.
It don't have to be supernatural. It don't have to be outlandish.
Yeah, Shawty want to go and be a damn dancer. She don't know this is a fucking coven.
Right. She wanted to be trained as the best dancer. Right. She wanted to be trained as the best dancer.
They make it so exclusive for you to get in. You'll throw away everything just to be a part of it.
What will you sacrifice to be the greatest dancer?
And you got no place to go.
Right, you can't leave. Right, you can't leave. Number one, it's isolated. Number two, you don't know anybody else. So if you choose to leave the school, where are you going to go stay? You can't just go back home, because where you live is far away from where the school is.
15 years ago, fall anime season, we got Code Geass, shout out.
And they talking about, wait, we saw Resurrection of Lelouch. 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2019. No, it was 2020. It was 2020.
2012. So last year, really? I thought it was 2019. Okay, so.
It was right before the, it was before the pandemic. That's all
with
I
the
know.
Delay. Okay, so with the delay of the pandemic, expect 19. Into 2032 or something. Code Geass shit to come out.
Yeah, they supposed to put a lot of content.
10 more years of content, bro.
I think it's a lot of shows. Like, I haven't gotten a chance to watch a lot of the anime for the season. I said I was going to
ask you a question.
What's that?
Would you play a Code Geass game?
Yeah, I would. And then ain't got to be Lelouch in it. Like, just give me the Geass.
How would you make it?
How would I make a Geass game? I definitely want to do something separate from the story. Because I've seen Lelouch's story play out, and what makes it so good is I didn't know what the fuck was going to happen until I got there. But I don't want to play a game that's just a rehash. And I'm like, nigga, I can watch this in 50 episodes. Give me a different story. They give me a different story with the Geass. I think Geass is so original. Depends on the type
not
of game.
Not necessarily the King Geass, but a Geass.
A Geass. Give me someone who has a Geass and they trying to get what they want out of the world with they using their only tool, which is their Geass. So I want to see that. Like, regardless,
while Lelouch's storyline is happening in the background of theirs.
Yeah, it can be like, why this is going on, or it can be just like, bro, on this planet this year, bro, a Geass fell into the hands of this person.
Well, doing and, the Nautilus shit or the.
Yeah, like.
What's his name? I can't think
like,
of it.
Even if it's. Yeah, you gotta. Shit. You gotta decide at certain times which way you're gonna go, what you're gonna choose, what you like. You get Geass options.
Mm-hmm.
I just have it where the Geass come up and it's just like. Bro, you got 4 things you can pick that he does in the situation.
Right, okay, that was going to be one of the things I was
going to
ask.
Depending on what
ask.
You pick, it's going to take the game in a completely different direction. And depending on the character, you may play chess, you may solve puzzles, you may just, you know, I don't expect them to be going through fighting nothing, but it's like if it's a military involved, which
right,
I would
if
hope.
If you are one of those characters, you got to fight with one of the nightmares.
Yeah, I would like one of those games. Like, what if it's some kind of interaction with, you know, the battlefield. However they do, whatever engine they use for the battlefield games, I think ultimately should define the game. And everything else is just turn-based, A, B, X, Y, circle, whatever.
Yeah.
I just pressing this to choose what path I'm going to go on. But ultimately, I'm going to always have these military battles. I'm going to have so many of them. I'm going to have boss battles within that. And then I get to the end of the game, and it's like, bro, but you... everything you select, it has selected what route you on.
Right.
And the same way like with
the
something.
Choices you make throughout while you play the game directly. What's the word for it? Directly influence the path that you have within mm-hmm. the game.
Yeah. I think I do it like that. When you just, because ultimately it's the decisions you make.
Mm-hmm.
I would like, that's how I would do a Code Geass game.
Okay.
Okay, okay, you can go, you can leave now. Thank you, girls. Thank you, ladies. All right, this is your host, Yuki, a.k.a. Starman Senpai, a.k.a. Star Sailor Senpai. I'm back with some more seasonal anime. All right, what do you get when you take one part Death Note and another part Future Diary? That seems like the theme this season, right? Combining two animes and making them one? I don't know. You get Platinum Man. You get a little more Future Diary than Death Note, but hear me out. It's an anime that shines the light on Japan's high suicide rate, supposedly, which is the highest in all of G7 developed nations. Go look it up. Don't quote me on that. It tells the tale of a high schooler named Mirai, who ends up becoming blessed with powers from an angel who is looking to choose the next god candidate. Sound familiar? Right. Okay, 13 are chosen, and the rules come as the story progresses. Right now, we're on episode 3. Mirai meets his longtime crush, who also has angels. Sorry, I got to give you that one spoiler. Okay, they have these angels, guardian angels. They all look different. They're all like Ryuk, where only the people who have angels can see the angels. That's the Death Note part. Future Diary part is he's swollen a vow to protect her because she hit him with some kind of Cupid arrow. Right, they have arrows that can kill. They also have wings. Something funny about angels, they all look different. Some have wings on their shoulder, back. One has wings on his hip and his ass like Cupid or some shit. Kind of weird. But this is anime we're talking about, huh? Platinum End surprised me because no one was really talking about it. Then it popped up out of nowhere. But so far, after 4 episodes, I'm really enjoying this shit. They also get some super Senshai Fighter for Justice angle in there. It's kind of weird. Like, did you watch Darwin's Game? It's kind of like that, right? Like, or, you know, the episode of Future Diary where the guy was like, I'm fighting for justice. Anyway, you get all that shit crowned in this one big ass fucking pot. But I really got to see where this goes. Like, this really surprised me. This is one caught me off guard. So I'm sticking with this one through the season. It's currently streaming on Funimation. Go check it out. It's called Platinum End. I definitely feel like you'll enjoy it. Check that out. And so Yuki signing off. I'll be right back.
So, second question. Or third question. Out of what you've seen in the past, I'd say 2 years, what would you make a video game of?
Based on what I've seen in the past couple years?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Across the board, anything. If you could choose anything that you've seen, what would you make a video game of?
Cowboys versus Samurai.
I mean, in what way?
Both of them use horses, guns, some swords, some knives, some rifles. They're like, that's some fun shit. I don't know. I don't know how they fight.
I mean,
I don't know what's going on. I'm just,
in essence, it sounds like you kind of want to make a Rurouni Kenshin game. Really, that's what that sounds like. You want to stop the Western, you know, Americano world from coming to invade this really? Asian country.
Remember this game on
stop
PlayStation
the trains
1?
From coming.
The great hero. What was his name? It was a PlayStation 1 game. The Sasushi. Musashi.
Musashi, yeah.
Musashi.
Great Fence of Musashi.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. Give me a 2022 version of Musashi. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, you know what? Ghost of Tsushima kind of got me like, bro, give me Samurai, but it doesn't have to be as calm. Give me a little bit something more adrenaline pumped. You know, because that's what Musashi, it was like constantly looking, your hands sweating because you got to do the stuff. You're running, you always moving. I'm like, bro, kind of feel like
you
Musashi.
Got the day-night cycle. You got to do shit on certain days.
Like I think we overdue for a Musashi game. I would like something like that. Like, yeah, that's what I would like
me
Musashi.
Too. Me too,
I would like an updated Musashi.
Because we only got two of them. It was one on PlayStation 1 and one on PlayStation 2.
I ain't know about a PlayStation 2.
Yep.
played it? You had it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did. Yeah. Me and Young Blazin' played that shit through to the end and 100% at that shit. Because to this day, I still have the Brave Fencer Musashi strategy guide. Final Fantasy IX strategy guide. I got a shit ton of PlayStation, like, cheat code books. Like, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, and then this gigantic cheat code encyclopedia type shit. Like, but it's from all PlayStation 1 games.
Mm.
And I got a notebook full of all these old facts and strategy guides from games that I played. But it was a different time then. Like, some of those older games are overdue for a remake. Like, Gungrave is coming out with a new version. Can't wait to play it. I'm so excited. I thought everybody had forgotten about Gungrave, but they didn't because they're coming out with a new one.
Word.
Excited about that shit.
Okay. Yeah. Anime tip, I'm still behind. There's a few things I'm still watching dubbed. So that's why I'm behind. I never finished the newest season of How I Got Reincarnated. That time I got reincarnated as a slime, mm-hmm. but I'm loving it. Or Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. Nobody's
making Reincarnated as a Slime or Shield Hero or In Another World with My Cell Phone. Like, none of these other direct, what they call it?
Iseki?
Yeah, Isekai's. They haven't made any kind of game for them. They got this new game that's coming out, The Forspoken, which is an isekai, but in story, that's what it is. It's not based on an anime or anything, but I'm surprised they haven't made one about any of these.
Interesting.
Like, Shield Hero fits perfect. Redo the Healer fits perfect. That sounds like a cool... I mean, even, that game. Look, you don't include the other shit.
Got to.
No, but I mean, how would you even play that shit out? Like, how could you button prompt that? How could you even play it? You can't. But
I mean, press X for my rod, press circle for this rod. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Circle for press, the heated rod.
Press triangle for no rod. And
you can't push triangle. You can't push triangle.
What if you can only select no so many times and make you...
Right, in that game, you have to do some fucked up shit.
You gotta learn lessons. Okay, I got a comedy for you.
Okay.
Hey, man. All right, so for the year, I would say for the winter, the funniest anime I was watching was... Mm-hmm. Princess and Sleepy Time, you know, Sleepy Princess and Demon Castle. That's right. Funny. Girlfriend was funny. I enjoyed that for the summer. That's probably the funniest one I've seen.
Sam out of Girlfriend.
I have a summer anime that went under the radar. I did not watch it, but I just started it. Mm-hmm. It's called Life Lessons with Uramachi Onisan.
Okay.
Fucking hilarious. Okay, so I watched it subbed and dubbed.
All right.
Particular thing about the dub cast, they have the actress who plays Excel in Excel.
Oh,
Saga.
My Lord.
She's playing the character in this show.
Oh, okay. I'm already sold, bro.
And
show me what the animation looks like.
Okay, I got you. All right, let me pull it up.
This man said Excel from Excel Saga. I haven't heard that in years. I'm sold already.
All right, so let me go ahead and just show you these characters. Give me 1 second.
Excel from Excel Saga.
Jessica Calvello.
Lord Il Palazzo.
As Excel. Oh, yeah, and Larissa Walcott. Those are the two actresses that play. But look, all right, so let me pull up Onisan. Pretty funny. Okay, the show is about a 30-plus-year-old gymnast who got a degree to be a PE teacher but couldn't get a job as a PE teacher. So now he works as Onisan, which is the host of a child's morning program television show on Basic Cable. Lord. And he has a crew of other 30-year-old guys and girls, people who work with him, who pretty much life is not working out. He be ad-libbing. The kids will ask him life questions, and he'll answer the question a bit too honest. And sometimes the answers be like dark as fuck, but they be funny as shit.
Oh man, okay.
That's what the anime. That's what it looks like. It'll fool you because you like, what's this like? Yeah, it's funny, man. That's probably the funniest shit I don't watch. It's funny than Girlfriend. That shit's funny as fuck.
And like, you say, what's it called now?
It's called Life Lessons with Uramachi Onisan. Because that's who he plays. His name Onisan, like Big Brother, you know. So
yeah,
all the kids.
Big Brother Onimari.
And I'm like, who hears him when he talks under his breath? Because he be saying slick shit to these kids about life. And they just be like, what? Like, my mommy saw a guy drinking the alcohol that looks like milk, and I thought he might look like someone, but she says, no, I can't recognize it. You look like you, Big Brother Onisan. And then his crew, people he worked with, was like, yeah, that absolutely had to be him. Did he have like pickled chip, like fit mackerel or something? Yeah, that was him.
Right.
And then, you know, he's looking like, I can't let y'all see me outside of work, because he coming that bitch tired, hungover. They be drinking the night before, getting fucked up. Then they gotta go to work.
And then the kids is like,
you don't look so good. Well, you would look good either after night of, you know, drinking and shit. And he'll just be straight up honest with the kid. And then the director be like, do it again. Like, cut. Right. Like you can't say that shit. Right. Like, and that's how the shit go on, man. And that's the whole synopsis, bro. And everyone hates their job. They hate their life. But this is work, and they need a job.
I'm going to watch that.
That shit's funny as fuck.
What's it on?
It's on Funimation.
All right.
Yeah, man. They got it. Uramacho Nissan.
Life Lessons.
That shit is hilarious. I ain't started nothing else. It's a couple of them I'm going to start tonight. I'm going to start rewatching 86 also, but there's a few of them I'm going to start watching from the fall season. Hey,
say my name. Yuki. You're goddamn right.
Yeah. It's your boy Yuki, a.k.a. Starman Senpai here for Senpai Sundays. I'm here to talk about... There it is. 50 years ago, we got the release of Lupin III. The creator Monkey Punch unfortunately died in 2020, but Lupin the Company lives on in a Series 6. In Series 5, we got the complete modern rebuff of Lupin. And in Series 6, it's continuing that theme of Lupin in the modern era. Visually, it looks great. I've also noticed, intentionally, they've injected variants of character designs in this past, more so over the past 4 episodes. Last series, he donned the blue jacket, which was kind of new to me, right? You know, I've seen him in all these different jackets, you know, the red, the blue, the pink. The blue was new for me, you know, but I was really digging it. Italia was I felt like that was Series 4. Series 5, I felt like they really got the ball rolling. This time, he dons the green jacket. First episode of this season, which is actually episode 0, he dons the jacket at the end. He has no jacket intentionally the entire episode. So you really don't know where this is going, right? Then he dons it. What really makes this season, or I should say this series of Lupin the Third, so special is, outside of it being the 50th anniversary, his nemesis. This season, his nemesis are the descendants of Sherlock Holmes and Watson. Now, you know Robert Downey Jr. was supposed to give us that Sherlock movie where he go against Lupin the Third. That didn't happen. But hey, Robert Downey Jr., RDJ, you done with Iron Man and Marvel. You need to get on that. Anyway, Lupin the Third versus Sherlock. Don't you want to tune in? Fujiko's there. Goemon's there. Jigen's there. Zenigata's there. The whole gang is there. And I love it. Because Lupin is being Lupin in a modern era. You got drones. You got social media. You got cell phones. You got AI. It's just so much to pull from here. I was really excited because I finally got a chance to see the CGI Lupin the Third movie. Lupin the Third, the first. This is just another retelling of Lupin. I can't wait for the dub to come out, but I'm watching this week to week. Shout out to Tony Oliver. Shout out to Funimation. Shout out to Sentai Filmworks and High Dive for getting this series. Shout out to High Dive. Thank you, because this completed my entire fall 2021 anime season. I'm obviously a Lupin geek, so I'm a little biased, but so far this is my favorite series. But there's a degree of bias you should take with that one. But Lupin the Third versus Sherlock Holmes and the Descendants of Watson. Hey, let's get it. Lupin the Third.
Oh, yeah.
I see Nocturne. I see
one
Nocturne.
About the witches directed by Rob Zombie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chick at the radio station or some shit. Yeah. Yep. I went to the movies and saw that. Mm-hmm. Loosely based on a true story. Yeah, Rob Zombie was doing a lot of based on true event horror movies when he was in his earlier Halloween times.
Bruh, I did not like The Lighthouse.
Bruh,
I did not like The Lighthouse.
That shit was a fucked up movie.
Bruh, I got to the end of this shit, I was like, what the fuck? Like, bruh,
You went into it expecting it to be something else, and I appreciated the fact that it was really a psychological movie at the end. I appreciated that twist. You probably didn't, because you going into it expecting, like, these are really two different people. And it's not. Like, by the end of the movie, you're like, they're not two different people. This weird-ass fucking creature outside, what the fuck is this thing?
Was that shit for real? Because I don't know myself.
I still don't know.
I was like, what the fuck is that shit up there, bro? You fucking a mermaid? Then I see him in the corner jacking off. I'm like, bro, miss me with this shit.
I still don't know. I don't know if that's like on some sea man. Like, I've seen weird things in the ocean, my boy. I don't know if that's some of that shit, or if that was part of his psychological, I was whacking off and that's what I thought in my mind shit. Cause that movie there, boy, Robert Pattinson, fucking avenge me. William Dafoe.
He fighting William Dafoe like that. That nigga was an asshole. That nigga shitted in his fucking.
Dog, that part right there, bro. How do you shit, dog? And we're the only two people in the lighthouse. We're the only two people in the lighthouse, dog. I know it was you who did it. I wouldn't do it.
That shit was nasty, bro. When he did that, I was like, nigga, you sick. That was sick. I don't know. After he did that, bro, I was like, bro, I'm done with you.
The movie was brilliantly shot. That, I mean,
it looked good.
Understand
it looked
why
good.
One
it
of
looked
the awards
good.
It got.
All right, so I like beautiful things. I think we all love beautiful things, right? Prince told us about the beautiful ones, right? They always, you know, you always seem to lose, right? That has nothing to do with this. I just wanted to acknowledge Prince. Okay, Netflix. Let's talk Netflix. Netflix has teamed up with Studio OLM. Now, you might know Studio OLM because they've done Pokemon for forever, right? They recently got together for a series called Comey Can't Communicate. Now, it made me immediately want to read the manga, right? Comey Can't Communicate. It tells the story of the delightful story, I should say, of Comey, who has an extreme social anxiety, which I can relate to on a personal level, if I'm being honest with you. And our MC called Tanado. Bro, he is yet another anime. This is another anime about a lucky guy, regular, unpopular guy who somehow reels in the affection and attention and blossoms a friendship with the most beautiful, most popular girl in school, right? He's the nobody kid to get close to the pretty girl that nobody can seem to get close to. You never really understand why she's popular other than people just praising her through the hallway, but she never has friends. I find that suspect off real. Comey's super cute. The trope is she can't talk, so she stutters, she trembles, she sweats, she uses hand gestures. Like, it's really fun. It's really charming. And like I said, it makes me want to read the manga because a lot of her actions and expressions come directly from the page. And that's really what I like about this series. Shout out to Netflix. What they're doing with this one and other anime they typically show is they're releasing it week to week. So we're getting it week to week. Right now, we have three episodes out. I did a 3-episode run, and I'm sticking with it. It's only in Japanese with subtitles. And the fact that she doesn't talk and she writes, you're going to have to get a lot of other subtitles. So just be warned. But the animation is beautiful. It is gorgeous. It looks good. It sounds good. It's cute. It's moe. It's funny. It's poppy. It's purple. I don't know what else to say, man. Komi Can't Communicate, currently streaming on Netflix. Go read the manga. Read the manga, Yuki. I will. That's what that inner voice is telling me. But you should go ahead and watch the anime. It's currently streaming on Netflix. We're going to get a new episode weekly instead of the whole series out, dubbed and subbed. But hey, I want it now. This is seasonal anime, and that's why you hear it Senpai Sundays. Spell out the ice cream. Go get you some ice cream. Cashews, everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all. We finna talk about some Wu-Tang. And Wu-Tang this week, before we get out of here, they did the show
at the Fever.
At the Fever, man.
With days to get it locked in. 2 to 3 days to get it locked in.
Motherfucker had 2 days. Like, bro, we got today and tomorrow. You got to do it tomorrow night.
Right.
Like, I love how you learn that, like, nah, bro, we needed the guy with the weight. We needed the guy who had pull, who had
to come in and be like,
his name and put his stamp on it. Like, yeah.
My group, y'all need to let owner. My group perform here.
Sat down with the owner, he was like, nope. But then the other buddy came, he was like, well, a guy like you miss a meeting, then, you know, I'll meet with you.
Right. Like, it's got to be something good behind that. Like, look.
And then they
let my guys perform, it's going to work out for you.
Hey, hash it. Last episode, we left off of the budding bromance of Raekwon and Ghostface. You see that?
And all and Divine trying to get the distribution deal.
Bro, all Raekwon wanted was a friend, bro. This
That's
nigga
it stuff. The whole yeah, time.
You
bro.
See this shit, you kind of be
you
like, bro.
You never seen the killer, bro?
Like, I'm putting you on. I'm putting right. you on, son.
I'm about like, to put my mans on the killer.
Like, and then, like, they showed the scene when he went back to Ghost Crib. Mm-hmm. He sees the bullet holes from the gun he shot.
Right. And what Ghost life really is. Like,
and
bro,
he felt
I'm
like
struggling.
Shit.
Yeah, like, this is what I gotta protect, bro. You see why I was mad. You my just, brothers don't deserve this. My mama don't deserve this.
You're like, damn, your brothers in wheelchair, son? Like,
all the way, bro. But they was gangsters, fuck, you know what I mean? Gave him the business. Raekwon in there, but he was like, y'all niggas talking that bullshit here and there. But he's like, yo, but that verse you spit, I like it though. And you gotta respect it.
Like, give me your autograph. Nigga felt like, damn, bro, I tried to shoot these motherfuckers. You know,
right.
I mean, Ghost being able to forgive.
Yes.
Like, his heart being able to forgive, and really Raekwon wanting to redeem himself of being like, bro, I had you wrong. I respect you. I'm a fan of you. It's like, bro, I like you, bro. Like
you my nigga now.
Like, damn, I don't know what the, you know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, bro, like, I feel bad, bro. Like, damn, you a good dude. Like,
I'm
nigga,
sorry.
I fuck with you. I'm so like, but his pride won't let him just come out and say that. Niggas don't talk like that. Nigga
right.
Just like,
so everything he did in that moment leading up to the performance, he was
yeah.
like, yo, bro, I'm sorry.
You see him like joking with him, you see him nudging him, hanging on him. He was just like, bro, like, nah, bro, I got your back. Even when
right.
he thought them dudes were finna rock
fuck
you,
him up.
Give some static, but he came around like he was about to help him.
Right.
He was going, he was finna ride with him.
Even though they were from his side of town.
Yeah, like they whole, like they beef. They merged the whole, they disbanded the whole beef between their projects.
Staten Island and fucking
between Park Hills, Stapleton.
Yeah, Park Hills.
Like, they ain't getting along, bro, and they bridging the gap.
Yep.
Like, call it the purple tape, man. Red and blue top. Like, these boys, these men coming together. And it's like, I like how you came for that and they giving it to you. We know the Wu-Tang story, but we really want to know how these two became as close as they did.
Right, and we getting it. Like, we heard the stories Ghost. In between the bars and the verses on the albums and the cuts and the skits and shit, but... Bruh,
Ghost ain't even... Wu-Tang ain't even a group yet, but ain't even signed yet. Ain't even got a video. This nigga already... You take the cream joints and you dip...
And you dip them in. You shit, you got them. You got to get the cream joints and you can dip them in whatever color you want and bomb. Like, this nigga was already on it, dog.
At the
he
Wallabies.
Was on it with the Wallabies already, dog. It's like, bro, I ain't never seen nobody with these before. It's like, yeah, because you ain't, because I made them myself. Like, of course, dog. Of course.
Like,
That I shit. Got a nigga down there in Jamaica who taught me how to dip it myself. Like, of course you do.
Dog, that's...
Yeah.
That shit dope, bro. Like I said, it's, like, I fuck
he
with
even
Ocean.
Put
shout
a
out.
Mask on yet to rap his verse, so it's like... Everybody still gotta grow to their personas. You see them becoming
protect
them.
Protect your neck. I mean, when they did like
Art chess boxing.
To me, that was the best episode so far. This episode was good. It wasn't as good as the protect your neck, but it was still a good. There hasn't been a bad episode this season. It's actually crushing the first season. The first season they were trying to figure out their identity, what they wanted to do. This season, they've more or less keep killing it. Like this episode,
everybody's solidifying who they are in. You know,
the build up been
what their names are.
It's been a fast pace.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of
episodes. You see why they call Jizza the genius. You see why they call Inspector Deck who he is. You know, you got, well, I mean, kid with the golden arms. We still ain't seen why they call him that yet. You know, Method Man. Yeah, we're getting that. You know what I'm saying? We're getting ODB. Man. We're getting
ODB
A-Sun with the whole
bro.
Shit. Like, we getting all that.
Like, they doing good with just pulling everybody out. And really putting them on display, like just one by one. The actors have stepped it up. And
but you were the first person to mention that you got replaced. Nobody else, because I guess they not watching it like that, they didn't notice that you got recasted.
I was talking to Cobra. Me and him were just having a heart-to-heart conversation, talking about the Wu-Tang. He was just like, hey, bro, what Joey Badass said?
He
and I was
recast
like,
it, bro.
Bro, you right. I ain't think
looks more
I was
like
wait
you
a minute.
Got.
What is he? Just like, bro, they did recast him. And I'm like, they damn sure did, bro.
They got
like, at the same.
Looks way more like right. You got.
You said that shit, like, just out of the blue. He was like, man, what happened to Joey Badass? I know, right? Mm-hmm. I think they recast him. And I was like, did they? I went to Google that shit. It was like, damn, they damn sure did. That mm-hmm. is. You know what I'm saying? I was like, damn. I thought that was dope. Like, nah, bro. They did the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just. We got to learn these songs and we got to rock this crowd.
You know there's an extended cut that didn't make it on the show with the full recording?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. You can find it on YouTube and shit. There's a full, like, I think it's 9 minutes of them doing Protecting It with everybody's full verse on there of the actors doing their voiceover of it. And that's what I love about the show. Like, they're not just fucking Milli Vanilli in this shit. These actors are really performing and being themselves, reincarnating these characters.
Make more killing this shit, bro. He killing Raekwon, bro. Like that motherfucker. I'm Sean. You like that dog?
He got it, bro. With the whole '90s outfit he had on last week, dog. I
with
was
the side,
dying.
With
yes.
the sideways, like, bro. He killing
with it, bro.
He killing Raekwon.
Yes.
Like this man, done gained weight and everything, bro.
Yes, bro. Buddy who plays Method Man, dog, like he's very
David
whatever.
East, bro.
David East, I still don't know his name.
Man,
but he
David
is a very
East,
great actor.
He pulling off Method Man, cool.
He
I feel
is
like
great.
That was right. I feel like that was right in his realm because I've only seen him in a couple of other things, but this
his
one
voice he didn't got the timbre.
Yeah,
the mannerisms, everything to Cal. Like I see him.
I think honestly, he had the voice first. And I think they were just like, bro, we'll work the acting shit out. But you got the voice. Because it just sounds like he was
and
a rapper.
He worked on his rapping.
Yeah, he a rapper. He a professional rapper. Like, David East been rapping for like years. You know what I'm saying? Mm. David East been out for at least about 5-6 years.
Really?
Like, yeah, he a New York rapper for real. Like, signed.
I thought he was an actor. I didn't know he was a rapper.
He been a rapper. This is like his first.
He's a rapper turned actor. I thought he was
an
actor.
Yeah, he Will Smith in it. He done been out for a rapper first. So he's always had that voice where he don't rap like Method Man, but he got that same
timbre and range.
That raspiness to his voice where it's like a calm raspiness. It ain't like, you know, a broad raspiness.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, okay. Like, you hear it.
Word. So see, I didn't know that.
When he raps like Method Man, it comes out the most. Because Method Man, out of all these niggas, he the one, he got the most bass in his voice when he rap.
Yeah.
He got the most bass in his voice the way he rap.
Or I should say most low range.
Yeah, everybody
not necessarily else. Bass, but low range.
Ghostface, we know, like, the actor, he's a high, he raps in a high range, but the actor don't rap as high as he do. You know what I'm saying? Raekwon is
he's
like...
He's got his attack and approach, but not his timbre and range.
Raekwon is a little bit more closer to actual Raekwon. I say Raekwon and Method Man sound the most, and as far as actors sounding like the artist.
And GZA.
Rapping?
Yeah.
Yeah, and rapping, yeah. Definitely. Actor for GZA, he didn't, yeah, he definitely raps like him. Everybody else, they rap like him too. Honestly, I think the Jizz are killing it.
Yeah, I mean, there's that little distinction between them, but I mean, like, that nigga, he...
But for me, more like different, bro. Raekwon, them three right there killing it, bro. They on another level.
Yeah.
Like, they on another level.
Yeah.
Like...
Hands down.
Yeah.
Like, I respect Shameek Moore now.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he was a great actor. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You played Miles Morales. I respect you, but...
I like when they
die. You killing Raekwon, dog.
Bro, I love it, man. I love it. This week's thing, I'm fucking with it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Consistently. I can't wait to see how far the season goes. Hopefully, we get at least 4 more episodes. But regardless of what they're giving us, I'm ready for season. I'm ready for season 3.
What about Dark Side of the Ring?
I ain't started yet.
None of it?
None of this season? Mm-mm. Because what is on? It's on Vice.
No, I mean Vice, yeah.
Yeah,
Vice.
I don't have Vice.
On Hulu.
I don't have Vice on my Hulu account, don't have it. I gotta get a premium subscription. YouTube put the season out on YouTube, but it'd be like
show certain episodes.
But it'd be weeks after the episode and air, so I can watch earlier episodes of it.
They only show certain ones like, you know, the day after, 2 days after. Like the weekend of that it comes out.
Hey, yourself. You know, I just recently found out we're getting another season of Love is War, spring 2022. I'm excited about that. All right, man. Your senpai, Yuki Senpai, a.k.a. Starman Senpai. I'm here with some Senpai Sundays. Yo, let's get into it. More seasonal anime. All right. The Great Jahi Will Not Be Defeated started like mid-summer. It's kind of odd, right? It's just now wrapping up. The entire season, like a few weeks into the fall season, which is kind of weird. But if that's when you missed, it's currently streaming on Crunchyroll. It tells the story of a all-powerful demon being lord type assistant who loses the mana crystal, comes to Earth, and has to be a regular human. It's like the devil is a part-timer, but in reverse. Or not in reverse. It's with the chick. Yeah. Take that how you may. All right. Blue period. Blue period, although that can be interpreted immaturely gross, no. Blue period tells the story of a delinquent who has an affinity for art. He's a painter by talent, and he wants to go to a public art school, but apparently the only public art school in Japan is extremely hard to get into, and the private ones are crazy expensive. So the only one that will give him a scholarship is the public one. So he's trying to get in that school because he doesn't want to put that burden on his family. So in between smoking Marlboro Pack 100s and drinking sake with his homies after class until the wee hours of the morning, He takes in the scenery, joins art club, and begins his journey as being a very astounded painter. So let's see what this freaking goes. Now, I know earlier I said Eseki, however you pronounce it. That is always the theme. Now, here of a Senpai Sundays, you know, I couldn't leave without talking about one more Senpai show. We have another one. My Senpai is Annoying. Yeah, a little bit of romance, office slice of life. I will honestly tell you, watch Aggretsuko. Aggretsuko is 10 times better than this shit. But I'm in it to win it because it's a senpai show. MC is a chick. Her senpai is really nice to her. He looks out for her because that's what a senpai does for his kohai. And she develops some kind of feelings. There's a lot of awkward office romance there. And I guess the funny part of it is he's like 240-pound muscle, like tall, like 6'3", and she's like 5 foot tall with the heels on. So it's like, yeah, she's a grown woman, but she looks like a kid, and he's super tall. I don't even want to get into no Rule 34 shit with that because that's just, yeah, you got it, bro. I'm not even touching that. My senpai is Annoying. It's a little cute romance. It's kind of funny. It's a nice little office romance that deals with adults. There's no teenagers. It's everyone in here is grown. Grown jobs. It does deal with some adult themes like anxiety, work, stress, budgets, pain and loneliness and things like that, that adults do deal with and, you know, trying to come up in the working world. It's not even that deep, though. Check it out if you want or not. Yeah, go ahead. All right, you also have Muriko-chan, which tells the story of a young woman who can see ghosts but tries not to react because if she reacts, she feels it'll make it worse. That's currently streaming on Funimation. It is pretty funny, but take it if you want, take it if you don't. 86 is back. 86 is back with part two, and from what people are saying, part two is definitely better than part one. Honestly, part one of 86, which came on in the spring, left me extremely disappointed. Like, it was bland, bro. I didn't see what was so special about it. Kimetsu no Yaiba, Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer is back with the Mugen Train art, which is currently streaming on Crunchyroll. So if you want to go ahead, I would say check that out. If you haven't seen the Demon Slayer movie, Mugen Train is currently streaming on Funimation. I know that can get confusing sometimes, but Funimation just bought Crunchyroll, so hopefully they'll combine the libraries at some point in the near future to save us all this messy back and forth subscription. But until then, bro, it's $4, $5, $7. Bro, go ahead and spend it. You probably spend more on that on Starbucks, whatever fucking crazy habit you got every month. You're giving Bezos that money. You might as well just, you know, jump in and get that too. Yashihime is back, although I have not started it. Parade Pride of Orange, the first hockey anime, is out. I have not watched that and I probably won't. But if you tell me it's good, maybe I might check it out. World Trigger third season is out. I haven't checked that out either. The Paladin. Ooh, I kind of want to check the Paladin show out. I missed out on a few, so I might check that out too. Anyway, that's all I got for you for Senpai Sundays, man. I hope you had a good time. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for listening. Check out some of those anime currently streaming on CRV, Funimation, Crunchyroll, High Dive, Amazon Prime, Netflix. That's where you can find some of your best anime. Y'all go ahead and check some of these series out. You will not be disappointed. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Senpai Sunday. That's Senpai, S-U-N-D-A-E. Also, follow us on Instagram at the Ninja Please Pod. Twitter, Ninja Please Pod. I am, again, your senpai, Prince Yuki, signing off for Senpai Sunday. Y'all check it out. Have a good time. Be tuned for new episodes of Ninja Please Podcast coming on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at a podcast platform near you. Peace. Because, I watched episodes on, Vimeo. It was, it was Vimeo. I watched some episodes on Vimeo because someone uploaded up there. Like, I have to just catch them online because they don't just...
Outside of the ring, man.
You would think Vice would just put that out on... I could just watch it anytime, but...
Okay, so... Last week, they had one about... something K-9. I can't remember his name. But he was a guy who... was a wrestler who put other people over. Like, they would wrestle him. He would lose to put them over. But they didn't know that he was in a biker gang, like a very well-known biker gang. This nigga blew up a police station. Like, it's very known that he blew up a police station. And he's done, like, a lot of fucked up shit in this biker gang movement. This week's episode was about... You remember that chick, Luna, who used to talk with a real raspy-ass voice? She had a mohawk or half her head was shaved and she had it look like lightning bolts or veins coming down. This week's episode was about her. You find out she was schizophrenic, but nobody knew how to deal with her that way at the time. So she just kind of, until she did eventually die, she just kind of like spun in and out. She was married to Gangrel. I don't know if you know that. If you even remember who Gangrel was, he was the vampire dude. I don't know if he was in Raven's flock, but when he came into the WWF, Raven was doing his thing with the Raven's flock and Christian and Edge and all them with that shit. And then Gangrel was the vampire who would drink blood on stage. You remember him in the ring? He was married to her.
Bro, you bring back memories of... I was super young when that came.
Yeah, she was, but she had been wrestling since like the 80s, though. But that was like when everybody finally saw who she was. She had been with Macho Man. She had been with a lot of people coming up. But that was this week's episode. But you found out like eventually she did dying. She had been married like two or three times. She was married to Gangrel. They didn't exchange rings or none of that shit. They exchanged vampire bite marks. I mean, like, that's the kind of life she lived. She left a son. He's not in wrestling, but, you know, she survived by a son and things. She's got some friends that were in wrestling that didn't particularly wrestle, but they were in the wrestling industry and whatnot. That was a real good episode, too. Because I think maybe the last one you might have seen might have been The Plane Ride from Hell. Because I talked about it so much, I think everybody ended up seeing that one. But
last one I saw was the North Korea one.
Oh, so you ain't even seen the one about when they went to England and then flew back and why they canceled Ric Flair. Like, why the meme of Ric Flair ended up existing.
I heard about that story. I read about the news about that episode coming out when people was like, no, this was a... I read about it, okay, but I ain't seen it yet.
Bro, you need to watch it. So The Plane Ride from Hell happened. These niggas went to do a European tour, WWF and all this shit. They came back to America. They had a 7-hour wait, delay or whatever, on the flight line, on the flight deck, on the tarmac, whatever you want to call it. These niggas could not leave the runway for 7 hours. They said within them 7 hours, they went through 3 alcohol carts. The stewardess who they interviewed said she has never in her career before or since gone through 1 alcohol cart on a plane. A full alcohol cart, like all the alcohol on it, the big bottles, the little bottles, everything. They went through 3 of them before they left.
The Dynamite Kid is the last episode they got on Hulu.
Dynamite
episode
Kid.
7. They got the Shadow of Grizzly Smith, Becoming Warrior, Collision in Korea. That's the last one I seen, was Collision in Korea.
That's season 2. Season 3.
That's what I was looking at. Season 3.
Cause the one about Luna just came out the other night.
Yeah, I think they're just behind.
Nah, you said you don't have premium Hulu though.
Yeah, so the last episode I got, yeah, came out in June.
Oh wow.
I had to be the first half of the season.
Damn, yeah. Yeah, that's fucked up.
I don't know why they do it like that.
I'ma just have to find it and send it to you another way, cause you need to see those, man. You need to see those. And then, I mean, you got Chris Jericho, and I respect him for all the... Because there's an episode about... with Terry Funk and Mick Foley on there about when they went to Japan and they were wrestling with this guy who ended up coming back to America with Terry Funk. And he was like, my Japanese was about as good as his English, and we couldn't speak shit to each other. But it was because the dude had got hurt and he couldn't work anymore, but Terry Funk like brought him back. But because it seemed like at the beginning of it, because they couldn't speak each other's language, they connected so
another
much.
Way. Yeah,
and they got so strong together. And it's like, I know for me, I don't know about you, but I know when I think of Terry Funk, I think of him in ECW wrestling with Mick Foley and shit. But they had been wrestling long before that. Like, I didn't know shit about Terry Funk. I knew about...
I didn't know about him. I knew about Mick Foley.
Like, Ernest the Cat and all them shits, but I didn't know shit about Terry Funk.
I knew about him in the... I mean, I knew about, you know, Mick Foley in the backyard just jumping on fucking...
Yeah.
I know about all that, just crashing.
But then you come to find out these motherfuckers really was doing it, and these people that they knew... But I just wanted to go back to the fact that Chris Jericho is an executive producer, I think, on that show.
Jericho.
Yeah. Like, he got these two guys to produce it. He was like, yo, y'all pretty good. you know,
Dark Side of the Ring.
Videographers, yeah. It's two guys, the two guys that are on Confidential.
Confidential.
Have you ever watched Dark Side of the Ring Confidential?
Mm-mm.
There's a dude who hosts it, and then there's two guys. They record and produce it. Chris Jericho put the money up and gets them all the connections or whatever, and also, you know, gets his insights or whatever. But just the fact that Chris Jericho, after everything he's been through, I did not know he'd been in the game since like the early 80s. Chris Jericho has been in the game. And he's one of them guys that, like, he made the effort to take care of himself as an athlete. Like, I'm in a realm where we live to get hurt, but I'm going to live to be able to have longevity. He's got his mind. Chris Jericho has never had controversy that we know of. You know what I'm saying?
We know of.
His health that we know of is good. He's still wrestling and looks good while doing it. And now he's doing all these episodes about the background of wrestling.